Ah, since I started astral traveling, I'm not afraid of death anymore. Why should you be, if now you can actually, literally, die at will? Rama, this makes sense. When you do your research and get to know Christ as a human being, you'll love him. You won't be able to help it, because you'll find he's 100 times better than your favorite teacher. You'll realize Christ's power and glory is so mighty that it can reach everyone equally. You'll see this man mingling with crowds in the streets, making sense to people, trying to make his disciples understand that power and glory are not bombings and political terrorism, but to love and forgive one another. He put many hours' work into his task. As a man, he's fascinating, a character who worked hard, had a good appetite, and even got emotional at times. Yeah, that's the sort of thing I'd love to learn. What was he like when he was off the air, off camera? There are passages in the Bible that can be corroborated by other sources in the Roman Chronicles, which were the newspapers of that time, reports, military literature, census, and other historical documents. Give me an example. Take the damnation of the fig tree in Matthew 21:18. One morning Jesus got up hungry and went looking for figs from a nearby fig tree. It wasn't fig season, so there were no figs. He said a couple of things to the tree, one of them being to the effect that you will dry up and no more fruit will come from you. His disciples heard the curse, and that night when they returned to the campsite they saw that the tree had dried up. His divine power did a number on the poor fig tree. That's right. The vibes were absorbed by the plant. There's not much I can tell you about Satan, except that it's an ever-present vibration. The way to identify it is to know Christ's teachings in your heart. That way you'll make intelligent choices, comparisons and studies. Then the day will come when you find yourself loving your enemy. That's when you will automatically have the seal of God on your forehead, and your name will be written in the book of life. You and I doing this little project is going to be a call to a few people in the name of Christ. There are many, however, who are going to come out and say that this is the work of the devil. Before the end of this year, you'll be told that you met Satan on these mountains. What am I supposed to do about it when it happens? Nothing, just listen. I'll be right there with you. How? In spirit. You'll be facilitating me your Anionites, and you and I will be one spirit. How will I know you're there? When someone actually comes out and says it, that will be your cue. Will it be in public? I get the image of a room full of people, like a big, round conference table. Before the end of the year? That's only a few months away. Oh, by the way, as of the 22nd of this month my mission was accomplished. You are all that is holding me in Peru. How long are you going to detain me? How much time do you have? I don't have to be in the United States until the middle of October. I know, but you'd better leave before October 3rd, because something is going to happen here in Peru. It would be best for you to go. We won't be seeing one another for a long time, if you say so. I'm going to miss these sessions with you, because afterwards I always feel fulfilled. Maybe tomorrow you and I could take a ride to Huancayo or Lua. I need to call Lima to check my plane reservations and things like that. I reminded Rama that before my departure she still owed me a session about the nation in this world and a race of people. It was all we needed to complete our original list. We went into the water for about an hour, then had lunch, finishing by mid-afternoon. We drove to some nearby fields and made ourselves comfortable. As we were talking and enjoying the scenic view from a grassy hill, a group of men appeared, walking over the crest of one of the hills. Rama said it was her space brothers and went to meet them. I could only see them at a distance, but I saw they had no hair on their heads and that two of them were tall. They were all dressed in the same type of robe Rama had worn the day she'd stood on the rock, bathed in golden light. As I watched Rama talking to her friends, I became very edgy. Even though I couldn't get a good look at them from where I was sitting, I could see they more or less resembled my previous ideas of what someone from outer space might look like. I never spoke to them, but I could hear them speak to me in my mind, and I felt they understood me. They seemed very sympathetic to my feelings of uneasiness and managed to convey to me that they were peaceful and meant no harm. Rama came back to the spot where we had been sitting on our blankets and sat next to me while the men sat by themselves some distance from us. They were doing their spiritual practice, Rama said. Rama wanted to continue our session, which was to prepare for another route of body trip, but I couldn't concentrate. I was still too freaked out from the realizer soft hyphen shin that only a few hundred yards away sat strange-looking creatures from other worlds. Despite all my studies, my ananas and ananites were vibrating at an extremely uneven frequency. I wasn't in the mood for astral travel at that moment. While Rama went in and out of her body, I sat up, keeping an eye on the creatures, who, after a while, got up and walked away, disappear soft hyphening behind the hill. About a minute later I saw a flying disc rise from behind the hill, then vanish into space. Rama said, matter-of-factly, that it was her transportation making a routine check. That night we went to the movies, had our nightly swim and laid down to rest. Tomorrow I was going to find out about one of the greatest nations on earth. After we returned to Akaya, Rama said there was real reason to be fearful of beings from outer space, because their mission on this planet was peaceful. Still, it had been kind of scary to see them and actually exchange thoughts with them. Despite all I had read and that Rama said, I was still afraid to get close to them. Somehow they reminded me of all the associations I'd had before now to awesome monsters, invasions, and interplanetary wars. Rama said the reason she had not taken me to meet her brothers sooner was because she sensed a lack of trust on my part. If she had done it sooner, I probably would have gone into shock. She promised to take me to them again, but only when I was calm and unafraid. She said while I was fearful and jumpy I would gain no benefits of what their minds could tell. Yes, I replied. I know what you're saying. But you must realize how extraordinary this is for me. This frightens me. Do you remember when we first met? Yes. You were so curious and intrigued about where I came from, and my activities, that you said nothing could shock you, because you were a tough character. Yes. And you kept stalling me deliberately, because I knew you were the kind of person who could handle my being from another world, but not quite as soon as we met. You needed time to reason out the whole affair intellectually. I think your friends are definitely from some other world, but you, I'm not so sure. Maybe in order to unburden my feelings I'm kind of expecting you to come out and say you made this whole thing up because you wanted to get your kicks out of it. You'll never get that out of me. Because it isn't true, I've been very honest with you from the beginning, but I had to put up with a lot from you. This afternoon, when you saw my brothers taking off, your curiosity was greater than your fear. Wasn't it? That's right, it was. Then why don't you make an effort to overcome your fear? You already know that some of the greatest civilizations that have existed on this planet were founded by people from other parts of the universe. Tiltray. But you have to understand that this sort of conditioning has been deeply imprinted in me by the society I live in. I'm quite aware of that, but you're also aware that your Western civilization is messed up as far as inform soft hyphening the people about what's really going on. What do you mean? I think our society is one of the most wonderful nations in this world. It may not be perfect, but it's certainly the best. Why? Because the average citizen possesses two cars and all of the modern conveniences? No, I'm not basing my judgment on that, nor upon the standards of living of our average citizens. It's more the way our government protects its people. We have free elections, and the principles of democracy in action. We don't have revolutions or a military government, besides. Hold it right there, Mr. Patriot. I promised you I was going to tell you about a nation in this world, so we won't waste any precious time talking about democracy or things of that sort. I understand your loyalty to the country in which you live, but you're much too naive and idealistic. When I said we'd be talking about a nation in this world, what I had in mind was how a nation would take an active part in the final days of Armageddon. Oh. I thought we were going to get into a political discussion. That's one of my favorite subjects. Can we use names here? You're aware, I'm sure, that in my country there is absolute freedom of the press. Are you kidding, Chaco? Look, Rama, if you know something I don't, I've asked you many times to level with me, let me in on everything. How could you say there is freedom of the press in a nation that hides so much from its news media? A place where a group of people sitting around the conference table decides what people can or cannot know. Don't you know there is censorship of the news? How can you say that? Listen, if you don't believe me, my feelings won't be hurt. But I think you ought to know a few things just for your own information. Don't think that I'm instigating it, I have no political motive for saying these things. If you say there's censorship of information on UFOs, how come so many books have been written on the matter? Nobody's made any kind of effort to stop them. Because censorship and the silence group work in totally different ways. When George Adamski wrote about his meetings with people from other planets, he was able to publish his book without any problem, that is, concerning the mechanics of publication. Then how do they work? They don't take the time to investigate, and the media conditions people to believe that anyone who sees UFOs are crazy. You get the feeling that the media leads you to believe what someone wants you to believe. Ask yourself this question: is there any reason why UFOs should not be a well-known fact? I guess there's no answer to that one. You bet there's no straight answer. Even though people see these things every single day. Did you know that, according to a Gallup poll taken last year, 15 million Americans claim to have seen UFOs? No, I didn't know that, the Gallup poll you say? You heard right. The Gallup poll taken in 1973. You respect that, don't you? By now you know that if the things you tell me can be corroborated, I have no choice other than to accept them, or at least really consider the possibilities. What about the random sampling of the population when these polls were taken? How about people like airline pilots, police officers, radar experts, astronauts and loads of reliable people who had the gut feeling that if it wasn't an airplane, a helicopter, meteor, balloon, then what? What else could it be? A UFO. I'm going to check this out thoroughly, and if it checks, then am I supposed to believe that my nation is hiding something from its people? You understand 100% correctly. In the same way that they hide UFO information, they also hide other things. Like what, for instance? Like wars. I don't think any nation is under the obligation to make military affairs public. I guess you're right. Any nation in this world could be at war and its people would never even suspect it, especially if the war is far away from the homeland. All one would have to do is condition the media to inform the people only of certain things, and not others. But how could they do that? It's an easy task. Very convenient for everyone concerned. There's one news media organization that compiles the news that is computerized and sold. This organization has the power to create trends, new modalities, the ways of being accepted. They tell you what to eat, how to dress, what brand of coffee to drink, what drug to take for your next headache. They condition people to take drugs, an entire generation could be hooked, and your news media would tell you nothing about it. Don't you remember when I told you there is a group of people deciding what is secret and what is not? Yes, I remember. Well, that's it. They have the knowledge, and could voice an opinion. But they're absolutely forbidden by their networks. They're concerned with the public's safety and are protecting them from mass panic. They affirm that the world isn't quite ready to handle the fact that there is life on other planets. Who are they to keep this information from the people? That isn't the kind of military information that could cause friction among nations. But you're not speaking of just one nation, are you? You're saying there are many other nations who don't want this information to be revealed either. Yes, I told you, the Silence Group is a worldwide organization. The world is ready now for a universal governor. You mean one man ruling the destinies of the entire planet? One person with the absolute power to impose his will upon every nation. Someone like Hitler, whose dream was to conquer the world. Big Brother, maybe? Yes, Hitler, and many others like him in their own times. When you said we were going to be talking about a race of people in this world, the only one that comes to mind is the Jews. Why is it that these world rulers, like Hitler, have always had it in for the Jews? No matter where you look, you always find the Jews have been persecuted, made slaves, mass murdered, driven from their lands. Aren't we supposed to be the chosen people? Well, Chaco, there's a certain chemistry that the Jews have as a race that has continually disturbed dictators. I don't know if I could call the Yanusians Jews, but they're the first people to be recognized as the ones who cultivated your planet with life, then with teachings of the eternal God of creation. Venusians? Adam and Eve were direct descendants of Venusians. Would you call them Jews? Look, from Genesis to Revelations, your Bible starts with one God and his angels that are recorded throughout the entire planet. Names vary, but the deeds and beliefs are basically the same, despite their originating in different geographical locations. There are similarities in language, architects soft hyphen tr, pottery, and textiles between the Hebrews and the Incas. Also between the Mayans and the Chaldeans. What I'm saying is that since ancient times, extraterrestrials have been here. So why do the Jews feel they're the only chosen people, if the biblical cosmonauts actually went all over the planet? Don't ask me that kind of question, because we would need months to come to an agreement. But let me tell you this, and I hope this answers your question. Man-made religions have always tended to twist certain meanings with the purpose of gaining attention, popular soft-larity, and lots of revenue. There's no such thing as the chosen people, that's only a motto. That's right, but there's such a thing as the Jewish race. We're all aware of that. But when it comes to what we're concerned with, there's no such thing as color, race, belief, or political affiliation. This time the people of the world are going to be chosen, although, unfortunately, only a very few. When it comes to God there's no racial difference. Exactly. That eternal God of creation lives in the heart of anyone who wants to let him live there. The Jewish race knew they would be getting a Messiah, but for political reasons, rather than faith and intelligence, they got rid of their Messiah. Remember when I told you about that block of red granite in the Great Pyramid? It symbolizes the moment the Jews were given an equal opportunity to become part of the teachings of Christ. Those who have suffered in their past lives are going to be alive again to see the second coming of Jesus. Very grimly, I have to say that some of them are going to reject him again, but I can tell you very happily that many Jews will turn to Jesus. Believe me, they're blessed very dearly, because in order for them to accept him into their hearts, a special effort on their parts will be necessary. I find that a little difficult to believe, I said, thinking of the Hasidic Jew in Brooklyn. What do you find hard to believe? Jews turning to Jesus. It's going to be happening so close to home that if I were you, I wouldn't even get into an argument about it. When this starts happening, it'll be another fulfillment of the prophecies. When we were talking about Armageddon, you said this world king, or Antichrist, is going to make a holy war against the Jews. Yes, and I also told you that the next persecution of the Jews is going to be the wick of the dynamite that ignites Armageddon. Does the Middle East crisis have anything to do with the Jews and the great battle of Armageddon? I've said this is the beginning, and when this man declares himself the Messiah, demanding adoration from the Jews, they're going to arm and fight. This would be the opportunity for certain world leaders to do away with the Jews once and for all. The wars are going to get bloodier and more cruel, then a powerful nation will interfere, then another nation with a different point of view will want to get its share of the options. After all, there are nations in this world of yours that are completely dependent upon wars for their economy to be swinging in full operation. What happens when two nations look each other in the eye and say, well, now we're going to see who's the greater. You'll see that in early 1976. The word for it is détente. You'll be getting close to the final days of the war. The Jews will be holding strongly to their land and their beloved Jerusalem. Their enemies will be plotting how to drive them into the ocean. Many Jews are in the most powerful nation in the world today, and when they see things getting out of hand, they'll get involved in order to stop the mass murders. Here is the moment when a powerful personality gets into power and says he's the only man who can solve the conflict in the Middle East. He'll make a peace treaty with all the dragons, false prophets, frogs, and creatures with 10 horns, who are going to be waiting among you. They're the spirits of devils, the demons. This treaty will be signed for a period of 7 years, of which 3.5 are just fine and dandy, until some fanatic tries to assassinate him. After his miraculous recovery, he will be so angry by this act of violence against him that he will show his wrath openly. You told me that this recovery would be more like coming back to life. Yes, that's why I said recovers from a fatal wound. That's why people will believe him, because they will wonder at his supernatural powers. This will encourage him to go as far as calling himself God, and the promised Messiah. He will deceive people for 3.5 years more, until the Jews draw the line, even though they are going to be grateful for his handling of the Middle East situation. The whole world will look up to him. When this self-proclaimed Messiah realizes there is no way he's going to win with the Jews, he will want to murder them all. That will be the Battle of Armageddon. By then the evil forces and Satan will have taken over this entire planet and will have managed to put the number of the beast on all those who refuse to take Christ to their hearts. This egomaniac will do anything to bring the world to its knees. He doesn't care if he has to use the doomsday bomb to destroy it. How will he be stopped? We'll take care of that. We are the celestial armies that are standing by. We'll remain vigilant to your world affairs because the balance of the universe is at stake here. What do you mean by the balance of the universe? We've spoken about the health of your planet Earth, how active and vulnerable it is to sunspots and to other attractional forces in the neighboring solar systems, and how cataclysms are practically around the corner. Right, I said, recalling our previous sessions. Rama became very still and somber, staring into space for some time, as if she were in a trance. Finally, she said, if your people continue tampering with the equilibrium of the universe by exploding atomic bombs, it could mean disaster for more than just your planet. Dropping a couple of those powerful bombs could split your planet in 2 or 3 parts. This means one less force of attraction that we have to fight the effects of Hercules-Bus in our solar system. How would you interfere? Ah, to you that's classified information, but let it be no secret that we have our UFO bases throughout the world. You've seen one. Yes, we've had our UFO bases on this planet ever since the continent of Atlantis went down some 12,000 years ago. The other 2 doors of the Earth are in the polar regions, with a few entrances like Lake Titicaca, between Peru and Bolivia. I'll also tell you that from our bases we can monitor all communications in your world, so we can see what's going on. Really? You've said many times that you people are preparing the ground for the second coming of Christ, that you're the apocalyptical angels, the armies of heaven. Is it your job to get people turned on to Christ or to keep an eye on us earthlings so we don't blow ourselves apart? Both. We're scientists who can give you straight answers about God, the universe and the creation of man. We're also standing by because only the eternal God of creation knows when these moments will be taking place. How is it that UFOs are going to become public knowledge? We're just going to continue talking to people all over the world, contacting anybody who wants to give us a chance to seal their foreheads. We have no contact patterns because we don't want governments to establish a particular pattern, then they'll start shooting at us. We want the people of the world to get adjusted to the idea of our presence, to understand that we are here on a friendly basis. Then when it gets to be known that flying saucers are circulating in the skies, they won't think we're invaders. Because we're not. We're here to assist the human race. You keep telling me that all these things are going to click into place. The final days of Armageddon will have a formula, right? It's like saying that a bunch of elements will come together and trigger the events as foretold in the prophecies. These are a church, a nation, a race of people, Satan, the political figure, the Antichrist, you extraterrestrials, and all these other things on my list. When they all meet, what will happen? Then this will be a great day of the glory of God. His Son will be walking on the earth again, but not as a lamb. This time Jesus Christ will show his power and his glory. What about the greatest nation in the world today? Will it take an active part in the events? It already has. Can't you see how much hate and antagonism is being accumulated against this great society of yours? They lose face in front of nations that at one time looked to them for protection and support. There are only so many wars that a country can fight at the same time, even if they are to keep its economy going. A nation used to having everything it pleases is now being shaken by energy shortages. Other nations will take advantage of its situation. Terrorism, bombings, racial unrest, political corruption, scandals, cities going bankrupt, drugs, cancer, depression, confusion, crime, mental illness, alcoholism, corruption, loss of moral values, organized crime and abuse of nuclear energy are all prevalent today. Remember that history repeats itself. The conditions of today take you back to what happened 12,000 terrestrial years ago. I'm talking about Atlantis. They abused their energy, and used it to destroy human beings like you and me. At that time, Atlantis had to have its moment of confrontation with the truth after a previous detente. When they could no longer hold the peace with the celestial angels, and they went to war, which threatened the equilibrium of the universe. There were battles fought in space, and nuclear warfare was present, which made the hole where the Mediterranean Sea is today, the weakest part of the Earth. Remember also that our dear friend Hercules was around. Don't you think that could have caused the sinking of the Atlantean continent? 12,000 years. Of course, that's the orbit of the cold planet twice. Then this 6,666-year cycle is about to be completed, bringing with it the Age of Deluges, Noah's Ark, Sodom and Gomorrah. If only I could find some scientific evidence. You speak of Atlantis with such authority that you're quite convincing. But to me, this kind of stuff is still debatable. How can you say things like that, after so many thousands of books have been written on the subject? But you want to be scientific about it. In 1910, Alfred Wegener at Cambridge got all the support he needed to demonstrate that the continental shelf of South America and Africa fit perfectly in their submerged parts. Let's get away from science a little and take a look at what some of the occultists have to say about Atlantis. The one who you will respect the most, Edgar Cayce, by going into some kind of astral projection, was able to uncover what we call the fourth dimension in some of his amazing readings. This man will be able to get his spirit in tune with the eternal thought of creation. He'll place Atlantis in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and will say that Atlantis were able to travel by air and underwater, that they used electricity and nuclear energy, that they had knowledge of cosmic rays and that their aircraft were built on bases which defied the laws of gravity. Wasn't Madame Blavatsky born in Russia in 1831? I asked. I read that she went all over the East, mainly to India and Tibet, searching for religions that would link us to ancient wisdom and philosophies. She had much to say about Atlantis. In 1875, she founded the Theosophy-Cal Society. She was attacked by the church and ridiculed when she claimed that all her writings were inspired through telepathic dictations from her Eastern Mars soft hyphens. / That's nothing new in this world. They've been doing things like that for some time. You asked me how the silence group operates. This is it. Madame Blavatsky's case is the most perfect example. They ridiculed her and her followers, even planting people in her group who committed frauds, so they could throw them in jail. I remember reading about this sort of thing in that book they sent me from New York, Gods and Spacemen in the Ancient West. It also said that the Atlanteans believed the universe to be the manifestation of one great thought, which is well corroborated by most of the ancient religions and by some modern scientists today. I remember quite clearly that the planets in our solar system are allegiance to the lords of the sun. One day when you and I were driving, you told me that the greatest civilizations on this planet have always catered to the sun as a source of life and religious inspirations. I guess you believe that sincerely. Yes, Chaco, I do believe it. And more important, I know it to be true. When you return to your usual lifestyle in a few days, you'll have the chance to seek out all this information. Usually one book or study will lead you into another. The only thing I have left to say is that all those lost civilizations, Atlantis, Lemuria, Poseidon, did exist. They're so far behind us in time that history is not able to reach them.